Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh's comments on Derrick Henry got a lot of Ravens fans very, very upset. And we're going to get into that shortly. Before we do, make sure you subscribe to the channel and turn your notifications on. I appreciate y'all because we are officially at 76,000 subscribers. So we're getting a little closer to 100,000 subscribers. When we get there, who knows when it's going to be, but I appreciate y'all for supporting the channel. So after you subscribe, make sure you turn your notifications on so you don't miss a single video, single update on these Baltimore Ravens. And leave a like on the video because it helps out the channel a ton. Now, John Harbaugh, his comments today on the king, it got a lot of Ravens flock up in arms, very upset, very heated, very agitated, very frustrated. Let's read exactly what those comments were. He said, we rushed for 185 yards overall, and a lot of that is Lamar, but that's the formula. The formula is all the guys together. It's not just the one guy. So basically what I took from that part is that John Harbaugh is saying, like, look, it's going to be a collective, a group effort when we get our rushing yards. It's going to be contributions from so many different people. It could be a Lamar Jackson. It could be a Derrick Henry. It could be a Justice Hill. It could soon, hopefully we miss you, it could be Keaton Mitchell. But anyway, continuing, he also said, we did not bring Derrick Henry to be the guy that gets the ball 30 times a game. He's done that before. That's really not the plan. That was the part where everybody was tripping over. And I get why, because with Derrick Henry, he's obviously a Hall of Fame running back. He's obviously had so much success in the NFL. Why? Because he would get like 30 carries a game with the Tennessee Titans. He would get enough carries and enough volume to where he would get stronger as the game went along. And we started to see that a little bit in the game against the Chiefs, but it obviously got stopped and it got capped at a certain point. But in my opinion, a lot of it was due to the situation of the game. A lot of stuff changed situationally for the Baltimore Ravens. So Derrick Henry, he ended up becoming really a non-factor. But anyway, that got a lot of Ravens fans worried, like, oh my goodness, here we go again. If this worked so good and so well for Derrick Henry, ain't that the reason you brought him in to actually be the feature back so he can get those 20, 25, 30 carries a game? And of course, it's not going to be every single game, but it all just depends on how the game is going. But you ain't bringing Derrick Henry to be no 5 to 8 to 10 and maybe not even to 12 carry a game running back. No. You brought him in because he is the king, and he got that nickname for a reason. So a lot of Ravens fans were feeling like, oh my goodness, this is the Baltimore Ravens trying to fix something that's not broken again. We've seen them do this time and time again. Why do they keep doing this? I'll give you a couple of examples, just random examples. Tony Jefferson, he was somebody that the Baltimore Ravens brought in as a free agent from the Arizona Cardinals. And Tony Jefferson with the Arizona Cardinals, he was a box safety, almost like a linebacker almost, but he was a box safety, really close to the line of scrimmage, making a lot of plays from around that area. What did the Baltimore Ravens do? They brought him in and they tried to have him as more of a drop back safety. And a lot of times he struggled. A lot of times he didn't look so good. They wondered why. And it's because, hey, you tried to fix something that was not broken. Speaking of safeties, Matt Elam. Oh, that was another one right there. I feel like the Baltimore Ravens wasted so much of potential with Matt Elam. I feel like they killed his confidence from jump because Matt Elam, he was more of a strong safety, also more of a box safety, a physical safety, similar to Tony Jefferson. But what did the Baltimore Ravens do? They were trying to make him replace Ed Reed. And they drafted him in 2013, their first round pick, pick number 32. And they moved him to free safety. They had him dropping back and roaming and whatnot. And that was not his game. And that destroyed his career before it even got started. And there's some other names that we can go over. And there's some names that we can go over where the Baltimore Ravens did change something and it ended up working. Like, look at Pat Ricard. Pat Ricard was a defensive lineman, but they changed him to a fullback and it has worked out quite well for Pat Ricard. So it's not like every single case where Baltimore Ravens try to change something that somebody does, then it doesn't work. But this is what Ravens fans were feeling with Derrick Henry, because they're like, man, he had so much success before. Why would John Harbaugh say that? Well, let's also look at what John Harbaugh had to say in addition to that. He said the plan is Derek, Lamar, Mark, Isaiah, Zay, Bate, Nelly. That's the plan in this offense going forward. So basically, John Harbaugh is saying that we're going to get contributions from everybody. It ain't going to just be Derrick Henry. He ain't going to be the feature person of this offense. We got a lot of people that we can get it from. He also said, so I think that evaluation of the run game will be best made over the course of the season. And I'm very confident there's going to be games where Derrick is going for 100 yards or more in a game. And you're going to be asking me, why has Zay Flowers only got 2 catches? So with that, he's saying, like, look, Derrick going to go off sometimes. It's going to be games where he goes off. And maybe the wide receivers, they not eating like that because he's going off so much. Now, for me personally, I ain't got a problem with that. Get it how you get it. Get it how you get it. Play winning football straight up. And if it's working, then keep at it. But anyway, continuing, he also said that's going to happen over the course of the season, and that's going to be good for us. That's what we want it to be. We want to be unpredictable that way. But anyway, back to Harbaugh's comments about Derrick Henry. I don't think you should trip over it. And I don't think you should just be ready to go off on Harbaugh about it. The reason being, because, you know, John Harbaugh always talks about competitive advantage. And he looks for any type of competitive advantage that he can possibly get every single week, every single day, every single hour. We, as Ravens fans, we will get so frustrated at what he says about the injury report. Like even today, for example, Lamar Jackson, he wasn't at practice. So I'm thinking, okay, Harbaugh got a presser. We're going to hear about what Lamar Jackson's status update is. Nope. Harbaugh said, you can refer to Wednesday's injury report about that. Kyle Vannoy, who I was 1,000% sure we want to get an update on him. What's his status? Because he suffered a more serious injury in the Chiefs game the other night. I was expecting, okay, Harbaugh going to clear that up for us. Harbaugh said, nope, you can refer to Wednesday's injury report on that one. Harbaugh does not like giving out injury information early. He does not like giving it out at all because he's continued to say over the years, I'll try to have every single competitive advantage I possibly can. Now, I took that with the Derrick Henry comments and put them together. Why would Harbaugh come out here and say what they expect Derrick Henry to be for them? Why would he come out and say that? That's not Harbaugh's style. Harbaugh doesn't like to give stuff away like that. Harbaugh likes to surprise us, so to speak, but he likes to try to build up that competitive advantage. That's why with his words, I ain't tripping over that. And we already know the old saying how it goes. Actions speak a whole lot louder than any words ever could. So Harbaugh can get up there and say all that and say that, all this, but it's about what they actually do in the game. Now, I know some Ravens fans like, hey, we don't see Harbaugh, especially come playoff time, where they will not use the running back. They don't care who it is. They don't care who's back there. They will not use their running backs in playoff time. So Harbaugh, even though he's speaking it, he's unexecuted it, and he's used his actions to do that same thing before. But hopefully this is different because, again, with Derrick Henry, he's special. Not to say the other running backs that the Baltimore Ravens had before, they were not special, because they were. Gus Edwards, he could have been special, but the Baltimore Ravens didn't respect him. J.K. Dobbins, he could have been special, but the injuries got ahead of him. And there's a lot of other names we could go over, but this Derrick Henry, he's somebody that's established and already been special. Why would the Baltimore Ravens bring Derrick Henry in? Bring this, I can't say high-priced free agent, but they are paying him a significant amount of money this year. Why would they bring him in and not use him? You have to. Now, I also get Harbaugh's part about, like, look, we're going to get it how we get it, and we're going to get it from everybody, because that's how you want your offense to be. Like he said, you want your offense to be unpredictable. You don't want your offense to be one-dimensional. You don't want where your offense is like, all right, if they stop this guy, it's game over. No. So with that part, Harbaugh is spot on. But with the part about Derrick Henry, they don't expect him to get 25, 30 carries a game. I just think it's just talk. And he don't want to put everything out there. He's not going to put everything out there. He's not going to be like, all right, what the Baltimore Ravens game plan for Derrick Henry is, we expect him to get 23 carries a game. And no, he's not going to say that. And he shouldn't say that. But my point again, watch for the actions. Don't worry about the presses so much. Don't worry about what Harbaugh's saying in these press conferences about Derrick Henry, this and that, and the third so much. But watch how it plays out during the season. Now, with all that being said, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Do you know what this is? No, really, do you know what this is? It is the ultimate team keep it clean tool, and probably something that you should live by. Today's show is sponsored by Tushy, because it's about time that you stop trying to keep your backside clean with just toilet paper. Now, that's what we've normally done because we're used to it, but does it really get the cleaning job done the right way, or does it just smear stuff around? Yuck. If you wash with a Tushy bidet, you get a targeted stream of fresh water that keeps you 2 times cleaner than wiping ever could. This routine with toilet paper is old, outdated, it's done. Let's retire it. It's time to upgrade that so you can feel fresh, confident, and extra clean. The setup, easy. The results, game-changing. Once you experience a Tushy bidet, your cheeks won't ever settle for less. Now, I gotta admit, when I first tried the bidet, I was hesitant. Because I heard about them before, but I ain't never used one myself. So it was a little bit weird, and it was different. But it's almost like the process of washing your hands, but with your cheeks, so where you just feel so much better and refreshed afterwards. So I'm bidet all the way. And it comes with some great benefits as well. It is about cleanliness, but it doesn't just stop there. Tushy is great for your health too. Regular use can help prevent chronic issues like hemorrhoids, UTIs, and irritation. Plus, every single Tushy bidet comes with a 30-day hassle-free return and a 12-month warranty. It's a one-time purchase that'll change your life. But how can you get your hands on a Tushy bidet? Well, I'ma tell you. So you can feel shower fresh when you need it most. And join the 2 million butts who already switched to Tushy for a limited limited time, our listeners get 10% off their first bidet order when you use code ENGRAVEN at checkout. That's 10% off your first bidet order at HelloTushy.com. That's HelloTushy.com with promo code ENGRAVEN. We already team keep it clean, but let's take it to a whole nother level with Tushy. Now we're here at my favorite part of these videos where we feature your questions. If you ever like to be a part of this, for the Team Keep It Clean patrons, you can send it directly on Patreon. If you would like to become one, you can go to patreon.com/engravenvids. And if you don't, you can just send your email to teamkeepitclean@gmail.com. No other emails, just teamkeepitclean@gmail.com. This first comment, really not a question, came from my guy Brian, who is actually a Team Keep It Clean patron. He said, "Engraven, check this out." And this was the illegal formations in week one, excluding Monday Night Football because it hasn't been played yet. It'll be played tonight. And this is something that I was concerned about. Like, Baltimore Ravens got called for illegal formation like 5 times, and it was crazy. So I was wondering, like, okay, did it happen around the league at all? Like, and if it did, then how many times did it get called on other people and whatnot? But anyway, it says, the Ravens got called for illegal formation 5 times. Every other NFL team combined got called 15 times. That's it. Combined. For all 29 other teams, because there's still two more teams that play tonight. But all 29 teams combined got called for it 15 times. They made an example out of the Baltimore Ravens. A very bad, frustrating example, but an example nonetheless. It says the average amount of illegal formation penalties per team, Ravens had 5. Every other NFL team combined, 0.52. And I know a lot of people try to say, hey, it's not the refs. Refs ain't had nothing to do with it. But they certainly did. Next question came from my guy Ahmad. He said, "What's up, Mr. Engraven? This is Ahmad. I've been watching videos since last year." Hey, I appreciate that, Ahmad. Thank you, man. He said, "I wish I could have found your page sooner, and I hope you and the kids are doing well." Thank you, man. He said, I've been going through relationship and family issues. Watching your videos makes me happy to hear your thoughts and pumped for the Ravens. Hey, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing that. And I hope that everything does work itself out. A lot of times we want a quick fix to so many issues, so many problems that we may be going through. And a quick fix is nice. But with a lot of things, a lot of more serious issues, a lot of more serious problems that we have, they just take time. They take time. So hopefully with time, everything that you're dealing with and everything that you're going through, it'll get cleared up and everything will be A-OK. I appreciate you, though, man. He also said, what are your final thoughts about the Ravens here on out? Such as record-wise, do you really think Lamar could win a ring the way he wants to win it, and also Baltimore as a whole? I certainly do. This game against the Kansas City Chiefs, it was one game, but you look at the AFC North, Baltimore Ravens, even in that one loss, they look better than the entire AFC North, and they look better than a lot of other NFL teams. So, and this could possibly be their worst game of the season, because this is sort of like a preseason game for them, because this is the first time all the starters are playing together and stuff. So I think Baltimore, just a few adjustments, few things here and there, even without any adjustments. Say, look at that game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Even without any adjustments, they were inches away from possibly winning a game or going to overtime, or they might have went for the 2-point conversion and lost, but they were inches away from being right there. I mean, they were literally right there with no adjustments too, because again, remember, Lamar Jackson drove the Baltimore Ravens down the field like 90 yards, and the play before, like we talked about yesterday, that could have mentally drained Lamar Jackson. He could have been like, done. Oh man, I missed Rashad Bateman. I completely missed him. Oh my goodness, I'm done. I can't do it. He could have been done after that. But he came back, literally came back the very next play with 4 seconds left, found Isaiah Likely in the back of the end zone, threw a perfect pass. But Isaiah Likely just couldn't get the foot down. So it showed me like, hey, Ravens tighten a few things up here and there. They'll be ready for whatever. So I definitely think they can get to the Super Bowl this year. Players the Ravens need to dominate more. Next question came from my guy Joshua. He said, "What's up, Engraven? Hope you and the family are doing well, and congratulations on your new baby girl." Hey, I appreciate that, Josh. He said also, "What's up, Team Keep It Clean? Hope you all are good physically and mentally." I appreciate that even more. I appreciate y'all checking on the family, the Team Keep It Clean family, because we all need it. We all need to be checked in on from time to time. So I appreciate that a lot, man. He said, "Now for my question. After seeing everyone play week one, I really feel good about us going forward." I agree. He said, "Part one of my question is, what do you think we need to fix going into week two and the rest of the season?" Straight up offensive line. Our offensive line is the biggest issue, in my opinion. Second biggest issue, I would say, on offense, getting Rashad Bateman more involved. On defense, getting Trenton Simpson more involved, having him do more. He said, part two, if you were the GM of the Baltimore Ravens and could trade for whoever and how many players, who would it be? Oh, my goodness. That's a cheat code. trade for whoever and however many players. Oh my goodness, I'm getting Tyreek Hill. I'm getting Justin Jefferson. But I'm gonna make it more easy. Like if I could pick, I'm gonna pick two on offense, two on defense. One, I'm gonna go Tyreek Hill, and then two, I'm gonna go maybe Quentin Nelson or Trent Williams. On defense, at defense, I am going to go Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt because that will give us a crazy pass rush. Because at safety, we good. At cornerback, we good too. At linebacker, I think we'll be good as well. But pass rush, and I know we could be good there too. Like, hey, they looked a lot better. So, yeah, that's what I would go with though. Anyway, he said, part one, I think we need to either trade for a right guard or try and play Ben Cleveland. I don't know what's up with the Ravens and Ben Cleveland, but they need to fix it because when he comes in for Zeitler, when he was out, he played really well. Yeah, he did. He did. So, again, maybe he got beef with Harbaugh. He said, you can go back to the Steelers game in 2022 in Pittsburgh. He did his thing in last season, etc. Also, Zach Orr needs to keep Simpson and Wiggins in for more. Okay, see? I should have read it because me and you with Trent Simpson, we on the same page. I think a lot of us Ravens fans are anyway. He said, Zach Orr needs to keep Simpson and Wiggins in for our defense to come together and dominate. Part two, I think we could trade for Clowney. I would love that. But I think Clowney just wants to be home. Because, again, that's why he signed in the first place. Obviously, more money, but that's where Clowney's from. He's from there, and he got family there and stuff. So, yeah. So, while I would love that, I just don't think it'll happen. He said, if we can reconstruct some other players on the roster, especially if we don't know how long Kyle Vannoy will be out and seeing how the Panthers got blown out, I bet you Clowney doesn't want to be there for long. LOL. Sorry for the long question. Hope everything's good again. Hope you have a great rest of your week and year. And go Ravens. Shout out to you, Josh. Appreciate it. Ravens AFC West. Next question came from my guy Corey. He said, man, what up in Graven? It's been a while. It has been a while, Corey. Where you been at, my friend? So majority of us are only here for the Ravens, but I'm rooting for the Chargers this year with Jim, JK, and Gus. I was happy to see JK Dobbins running strong yesterday and had a few big runs. Oh yeah, there was one run where it reminded me, I think it was against the Patriots, where JK Dobbins, I think he at first came back and he was running. He broke out in the open field, but then he just slowed down and got caught from behind. That happened to him yesterday, but he had a really good game. I think he had only like 10 carries for like 100 something yards. So he was doing his thing. But anyway, he said, I'm hoping he does extremely well and stays healthy all year. Yes, we do hope that for JK for sure. He said, as I'm typing this, I realize I have a thing for number 27 running backs. JK, Ray Rice is still one of my favorite, but Eddie George was my guy back in the day too. Since I was an original Titans fan and came to the Ravens once Ed McNair did. Okay, we glad that you're here. He said, anyways, I also hope the Chargers can beat Kansas City at least once, and maybe they're both fighting for top crown of their division. Ooh, I don't see that happen. Not the Chargers and Kansas City. I think Kansas City going to run away with it, but like they do every year. But hey, you never know. I wouldn't be mad if they are. If Chargers and KC fighting for the top spot in the AFC, have at it. He said, I know it seems like Chiefs will win the division easily again, especially with the league and the refs in their back pocket. Let's just be real about it. But it's a long season, and Chargers, along with the other teams, don't want them to three-peat, and I'd be happy if they didn't make the playoffs with a healthy Mahomes. Again, very unlikely, but a man can dream. You hear my daughter crying? You hear her crying? She's crying tears of joy. Now, actually, that's not tears of joy. That would be tears of frustration if the Chiefs won another. If they three-peated. They already got three Super Bowls, but if they three-peated, got one three in a row, oh, my goodness. That crying that you hear right now, it would be a lot worse. And it would be coming from me, not even her. Anyway, he said, lastly, I was very impressed with the games this weekend. I agree with your video that, yes, the Steelers won, but they were looking very strong. And Mr. PQ wasn't very dominant with all that trash talk, but it's only one game. Yeah, it's only one game. I didn't really notice him. But yeah, it's one game. So he could have had a quiet game against the Falcons yesterday. But then in the next game, I don't know who Steelers play next, but whoever they play next, he could go out there and kill it. So we'll just see. We got to remember, it's a 17-game schedule. Well, for now, soon it's going to be 18 soon enough. But anyway, he said, Dallas made the Browns look bad. Patriots surprisingly beat the Bengals in a low-scoring game. Caleb Williams made a fun comeback. Well, Caleb Williams ain't do nothing. He ain't do nothing. The defense made a fun comeback. Caleb Williams ain't do nothing. But again, it's one game. He said, Eagles look like they're a Super Bowl team now. Just wait and see how the Jets play tonight. Call me a hater, but if we don't win it all this year, I'm rooting for anyone and everyone but the Chiefs. Oh, yeah, be a hater. Be a hater for sure. Be a hater for sure, man. We don't need them Chiefs winning another one, man. He said, and just like Jordan Love. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. He said, and just like Jordan Love, I'm out. Catch you again in a few weeks. All right, appreciate you.